Face all that. All right. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And, yep, I'm on. Good. All right. Starting in verse 11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul's talking to young Timothy, and he's saying, now, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. You know, the gospel was given because the law was not kept. Why wasn't the law kept? Didn't God give the law to the Israelites? Didn't God write a law for them to take and go by? But yet, they weren't able to keep it. God gave both the gospel and the law. The gospel was given to complement the law because the gospel could not be kept. And the law could not be kept, but the gospel brought in what? Salvation. The gospel brought in salvation where the law did not have salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, I find that verse very interesting. And it was not until the gospel was given by God that the angels had any idea what salvation was all about. Did you know that? The angels did not know what salvation was until Jesus came, he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now listen to me very carefully. The angels in heaven were wondering why in the world an all-holy God would give his only begotten Son that you and I, sinful man, could have eternal life. Now, angels, what are they? They're messengers from God, aren't they? They go and come out of heaven. Do they die? No. So that means that they've been around for a long time, haven't they? Amen? They've seen things happen over the centuries of time. But you know one thing that is the same today as what it was all the way back in the time of Adam and Eve? Sin. Sin has not changed. Sin is exactly the same it is today as it was back then. There's not one sin different today than what it was back then. Not one. We have the same three things going on today that went on all the way back in the Garden of Eden. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All three of those are here today, just like they were back then. Now, what we need to realize is this. The angels, they can't understand why God loved us so much. After all, look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The angels can't understand that. They can't understand why God loved us so much that they gave Jesus to die on the cross. But you know, what is the gospel message? What is the gospel message anyway? People say, well, you know, we're here to preach the gospel message. Well, what's the gospel message? Christ died, Christ buried, Christ rose again the third day according to the Scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the penalty of sin or the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord might be saved, right? shall be saved. Listen, there's no might about it. It's a shall promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is all about showing someone that they're a sinner, showing them that there's a penalty for their sin, showing them that Jesus died, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the gospel message. People say, is that all there is to it? Yeah! That's it. You know, there's so many times, and sometimes I get a little bit irritated, a lot of times. Awful lot of times. But I was talking to another pastor a week ago from another church, another denomination. And he said to me, well, what do you use for a version of the Bible? I said, I use the King James Version. He goes, what? You are so old-fashioned. I said, what do you use? And he told me. I said, oh, you're a New Ager. He says, what? He says, you know, people can't understand the King James Bible anymore. They can't understand it. I said to him, I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, can they understand that? Well, he says, yeah. I said, for the wages of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said, can they understand that? He goes, well, yeah. I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you think they can understand that? He goes, well, yeah. I said, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, do you think they can understand that? He goes, well, yeah. I said, how much more of the Bible they need to understand than how to get saved? Amen or oh me. You know, what is it all about? Seeing people accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's what it's all about. That's the gospel message. He looked at me and he says, I never looked at it that way. I said, well, you better start. I said, the problem with people today, the reason they don't understand the King James Bible is because they don't read it. You know what? I can bring you a little girl about this high, weighs about 40 pounds, well, maybe 50 pounds, and she can, no. And she can take a Bible and she can sit down and she can read anything you want. And she, how old is Sophie? 5? 6? Yeah, she just turned 6. 6 years old. And she can read the Bible anywhere you give her. Oh, she has a little bit of problem with some of the names in the Old Testament. But I'll tell you what, so do I. And I'll tell you what, she can take and she'll sit there and she'll read it and she'll tell you everything that she read. 6 years old. Yeah, but anybody can do it if they do it enough. And what we need to realize is this. We need to realize that, yeah, maybe I do read an old Bible, but I'll tell you what, that's the Bible I got saved by, amen? You know, then he goes on to say, which was committed to my trust. Paul wanted the church to realize, he wanted young Timothy to realize, that this gospel had been put into his trust. The word trust here means that which is committed to one's care. Paul is telling them that God had given him the gospel to care for, and to spread it around. I would think of Paul as being a farmer with a manure spreader behind. And he's spreading it all over. Amen? Listen, what we need to realize it's not manure, it's the gospel that he was spreading around. Amen? You know, the word trust means to be committed to one's care. You know, Paul did not take the responsibility lightly of being entrusted with the gospel's care. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he told of what happens when a person gets saved in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, There is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repenteth. Hey, you know what? Every time I lead somebody to the Lord, the angels are having a hallelujah party. Did you know that? There's joy in the presence of angels over one person that got saved. Amen? Amen? Boy, I'll tell you what, that's exciting. It's exciting to know when we lead somebody to the Lord, all of a sudden, here's the angels up there going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Hey, I'll tell you what, it's exciting to see angels get excited. You know, all of us in this room have the same entrustment, and that is to take and spread the gospel to everyone we come in contact with. You know, we are to spread the gospel throughout Florence, Coolidge, Johnson Ranch, and the other more parts of the world. Amen? Don't keep it to yourself. Spread it around. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul wanted them to realize that he thanked God for allowing him to be able to preach the gospel message. He goes on, who hath enabled me? You know, Paul realized it was only through the Holy Spirit that he was able to present the gospel message. You know, Paul knew that there was no way, none, zero, that he could save anybody. Did you know that I can't save anybody? Did you realize that? I'm a preacher and I can't save anybody. I wish that I could go to God and say, God, I want you to save Chuck. But you know what? I can't do it. I can't go up and say, God, I want you to save Bob. I want you to save Chuck. I want you to save Molly. I want you to save everybody. I can't do that because I don't have salvation. I don't have salvation to give to you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ does. And that's through the gospel message. What we need to realize, people, is this, is that we need to tell as many as we possibly can about the Lord. You know, Paul knew there was no way that he could possibly save somebody himself. But Paul later tells how he is the least of all saints. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, unto me, who am least than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul knew that he was unworthy to be called a child of God, let alone be called a preacher. I'll tell you what, if anybody shouldn't have been a preacher, it should have been Paul. Paul, even though he was one of the greatest missionaries to ever live, one of the greatest evangelists to ever live, one of the greatest preachers to ever live, yet he shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have been allowed to do what God allowed him to do. He goes on to say that he counted me faithful. You know, Paul was at awe many times thinking of the passion which God had allowed him to have. You know, God allowed him to spread the gospel message. Not only did he spread the gospel message, but he was also faithful in what he preached. You know, God knew before Paul was called that he was going to be faithful. Did you know that? God knew before he called me into the ministry that I'd be faithful. He knew that I would take and I would preach what he wanted me to preach while I was behind this pulpit. You know, I count it a privilege to be behind this pulpit. If it were not for the grace of God, I wouldn't be behind this pulpit. Brother Echoes knows what I'm talking about. Listen, what we need to realize is by God's grace that we are where we are. You know, we need to be found faithful. You know, what better thing can each of us do than to be found faithful? You know, think about Paul for just a minute. Paul persecuted the Christians, didn't he? Paul had taken and had people thrown in jail for being a Christian. Paul had people whipped for being a Christian. Paul separated families. You know, we talk about immigration with families being whole. That's nothing compared to what Paul did. Paul would take and not only separate the families, but he would have the children sold as slaves. Now that's separation. And you know, I didn't see the news media picking up on that at all. Amen? But listen, Paul should never have been a preacher. After all, he was not a very nice man. However, Paul did some things that you and I probably would never end up doing. You know, Paul was faithful even though he was beaten. He was whipped with the cat of nine tails. He was taken out of the city and stoned and left for dead. He was on his way to Rome and he was shipwrecked. He was in the ocean, bobbing around like a little cork. Sharks swimming all around him. He went through an awful lot to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If anyone should have quit, it should have been Paul. If anybody should have said, God, this is too much for me, I quit, it should have been Paul. But he didn't. He was faithful. He was faithful in what God had called him to do for as long as God had had him doing it. We need to realize that we too need to be faithful to God's calling. You know, what an awesome honor to be placed in the ministry. As far as I'm concerned, there's no other occupation greater than being in the ministry. You know, if a person other than Joel Osteen and Benny Hinn and some of these other guys think that you're going to make $1 million in the ministry, you're sadly mistaken. I guarantee it. If you think you're going to get rich being a preacher, especially an independent Baptist preacher, you're sadly mistaken. But you know what? You know, there's not a whole lot of fanfare either. Have you ever seen TBN or whatever that is out here with their cameras and stuff out here in front of the church interviewing me? I never have. You know, there's no fanfare about being a preacher in a small church. You know, there's no, you know, I only work, what, 3 hours a week? You know what I mean? I only work an hour on Sunday morning, an hour Sunday night, an hour Wednesday night, right? That's all the time I put in. That's the only time I'm here at the church, 3 hours a week, right? Isn't that right, Robin? Robin used to work in the food bank full time. She knows. Believe me. You know, listen, what we need to realize is I didn't go into this for a 40-hour a week job. You know, there's an awful lot of nights that we don't get a whole lot of sleep. The phone rings, I got to get up, go to the hospital, make hospital visits. And then you know what? I still got to come to work the next day. You know, there's an awful lot of heartache and sadness, believe it or not, in the ministry. You know, one of the things that breaks my heart the most is when my friends go home. Oh, it's a joyful time to know that they're absent from this body and present with the Lord. But you know what? It's a heartache. It's a heartache to see my friends leave this earth. But you know what? There's blessings untold. There's blessings. God blesses me beyond measure. You know, I don't deserve the blessings He gives me sometimes. I don't. But yet He still does. You know, I'm honored and humbled that God called me to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ And believe it or not, I am less than the least that should be behind this pulpit. You know that I'm a dirty, rotten sinner just like everybody else? Did you know that? Did you know that if I take and I open up my chest, I have a heart like everybody else? And at one time it was just as black as everybody else's? But now it's white as snow? Because I got saved. When I had my open heart surgery that time, they did an echocardiogram on me after the surgery. And one of the ladies in the church was in the room while they were doing this echocardiogram. And all of a sudden, she goes, "Stop right there." And she's watching this screen. And she's, "Can you print that out for me?" She goes, "What? Can you print that out?" She goes, "Yeah." So she pushes print. She says, "Can you make me a couple copies of it?" So she did. She made a couple copies of it. And here you could see my heart. My heart was pumping. And right in the middle there, it looked like someone was standing in the middle of my heart. And this lady said to her, she goes, "Why did you want this?" She goes, "There's Jesus right there in his heart." She says, "I'm going to show this to my kids in my Sunday school class that Pastor had Jesus in his heart." Huh? Well, there was a heart there. In fact, they had just had it out 2 days earlier. But you know what? Hey. But she brought that picture in and she said to all of her little kids, she says, "Look at this. This is Pastor's heart. And right there is Jesus in his heart." Wow. Wouldn't that be cool if we could do that? I mean, I would have one of them echocardiograms, and every time I met somebody, I'd go, wham! Let's see, do you have Jesus in your heart? You know, everybody walking around with black and blue places on their, where I hit them with that thing. But you know, I don't deserve to be a preacher. I'm the last one that God should have put in the ministry. However, he put me here just like he did the Apostle Paul, just like he did Billy Sunday, just like he did Jack Hiles, just like he did Bob Rice, and millions throughout the year. And I count it an honor and a privilege to be called a pastor. The late Dr. Jack Hiles said this. He says, "The greatest honor I can have in life is for a person to call me preacher. For a person to call me preacher." Dr. Hiles had, I don't know how many earned doctorates. He had honorary doctorates as long as my arm. And yet, he said the greatest thing a person could call him is a preacher. You know, what we need to realize is that we put in a lot of time, we put in a lot of energy, we put in a lot of things into our ministries, and yet we do it all for the honor and glory of God. As long as God can be glorified in what we do, people get saved in what we do, we're going to continue to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your love. We thank you most of all for allowing us to be a child of yours. So many times we lose sight of that. We lose sight that we need to be born again. You say in your word that, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Father, we know that we're all sinners. We realize there's a penalty for our sin. And that's eternal separation from you in a place called hell. But yet you gave us a gift. And that gift was your Son. Even though we don't deserve it, even though he didn't deserve to die, he did. So that we could have eternal life. All we need to do is ask for it. Believe and ask for it. Father, be with us now, I pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you're saying, "You know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'm not 100% sure where I would spend eternity. If I were to die right now, I have no idea, none, where I would spend eternity. I can't remember a time or a place where I asked Jesus into my heart. I can't remember ever saying that I was a sinner. If that's you, I'd like to have you just raise your hand. I want to pray for you tonight. Is anyone like that at all? Just raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone at all? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. If that's you, just raise your hand, put it back down. You heard the gospel message tonight, so now you're going to stand in front of God and there's going to be no excuse. None. Zero. There'll be no excuse because you're given an opportunity tonight. If you're not 100% sure that you're saved, just raise your hand, put it back down. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to do anything. Just anyone at all. Father, you know our hearts. I just pray, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, that tonight might be their night of decision. Father, I just pray that you'd help them to have the courage to seek one of us out tonight, so that we can show them from your word how they can know for sure where they'd spend eternity if they were to die. Be with this rest of this invitation now. We give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, turn our hymnal to number 153. 153.